The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, January 30th, 2025. We will begin today's reading with the article headlined, World War II Soldier from Bloomington ID'd, by D-Jack Alkier. Bloomington. The remains of one of Bloomington's own who died in Italy during World War II have been identified after 80 long years. He will be buried in Richmond, Virginia this coming April. PFC Robert L. Bryant of the U.S. Army's Company B, 4th Ranger Battalion, was just 23 when he died near Pietre, Italy, following Operation Avalanche in September 1943. According to a Tuesday press release from the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency, Bryant's body was not recovered during the war, and he was never reported as a prisoner of war. In 1947, the American Graves Registration Service recovered remains from a cemetery designated as X-152 Naples. In 2019, a DPAA historian was studying American losses during Operation Avalanche and was able to piece together records that supported Bryant's remains were a part of X-152 Naples. The remains were disinterred in March 2022 and underwent an anthropological and dental analysis to determine that they were indeed those of PFC Bryant, the news release said. He was officially accounted for in September 2024. The next local story is headlined, ISU police looking for person seen photographing another in bathroom, by Brendan Denison. Normal. The Illinois State University Police Department is asking for help identifying a person of interest after an individual was photographed in a campus bathroom. In a Wednesday afternoon Facebook post, ISUPD said dispatchers received several calls at 11:18 a.m. that morning about a person shouting for help in the State Farm Hall of Business while being chased by another person. Responding officers learned the disturbance had resulted from someone photographing an individual inside the men's restroom, the post stated. The photographed person noticed and chased the photographer out of the building, the University Police Department said. ISUPD said it wants to speak with a person shown in a photo released by the department's investigators. The photo appeared to show a person wearing gray or blue pants and shirt with a multicolored stocking cap. Anyone with additional information is asked to call ISUPD at 309-438-8631. The post stated students can access safety resources via the Safe Redbirds mobile app, which lets users request a safe walk, virtual safe walk, or friend walk, and use a virtual blue light. In an interview, ISU Police Chief Aaron Woodruff encouraged students to stay aware and to use the above resources. Woodruff said they can't prevent everything, but the department clearly needs the campus's assistance with reporting incidents so that officers can respond to them. And here's a State of Illinois story from the front page headlined, GOP Wants Legislative Map Tossed, by Ben Zielinski, Springfield. Illinois House Republicans are asking the state's highest court to invalidate legislative maps they say are illegally gerrymandered to give Democrats a controlling supermajority of the chamber. The lawsuit filed Tuesday alleges the current House map fails to meet state constitutional requirements that districts be compact and allow elections to be free and equal. The outcome is elections that are rigged to favor Democratic candidates. In addition to striking the maps, Republicans want the Illinois Supreme Court to appoint a special master to draw new district boundaries. Republicans are targeting this lawsuit to state courts after previously failing to block the maps in federal court. New data and a key expert witness, they say, make their case more likely to succeed. Illinois House Republicans refuse to stand by while Democrats rig elections and manipulate the system to maintain their grip on power, House Minority Leader Tony McCombie, Republican of Savannah, said at a news conference Tuesday. The lawsuit comes after House Republicans failed to gain seats in the two election cycles since a new map was drawn in 2021 following the census and implemented for the 2022 election. Republicans lost 5 seats in 2022 and failed to win any back in 2024, leaving House Democrats with 78 members in the 118-member House. Compactness in question. The first question Republicans want the Supreme Court to weigh in on is whether the districts are compact. Compactness is not defined in the state constitution, though dozens of mathematical formulas exist to measure whether the residents in a district are spaced appropriately. Republicans point to the Illinois Supreme Court's decision to invalidate a district in 1981, which found the Central Illinois District was not considered compact. Using two mathematical formulas, the lawsuit alleges 52 of the current House districts are less compact, based on at least one formula, than the unconstitutional 89th House District was in 1981. The 89th House District in that year included several square-shaped sections from Peoria to Springfield. The court ruled it was not compact based on a visual examination. The lawsuit argues existing districts that feature odd shapes snaking around communities or extending away from the heart of a district would fail the same eye test. The Princeton Gerrymandering Project, which assesses legislative maps around the country on several metrics, gave the current Illinois House map an F grade for its compactness metric. The districts are also politically gerrymandered to elect more Democrats, according to the lawsuit. Republicans argue Representative Lisa Hernandez, Democrat of Cicero, who chaired the House Redistricting Committee, admitted to partisan gerrymandering during floor debate in August 2021, when she was asked by then-Representative Avery Bourne, Republican of Morrisonville, whether partisan advantage was considered in drawing the map. "It is one of the factors included," Hernandez said at the time. The court filing also points to testimony in previous challenges to the maps in which a House Democratic staff member acknowledges lawmakers considered creating political advantages in certain districts as they discussed how to draw the map. At odds with simulations. As part of their case, House Republicans enlisted the help of national redistricting expert Joe Wei Chen from the University of Michigan. Chen has served as an expert witness on similar lawsuits in other states. House Republicans said Chen ran 10,000 computer simulations on different map outcomes at their request, with the only requirement being that the maps were compliant with the Federal Voting Rights Act. None of the simulations produced a map similar to the current House map. That outcome is only possible with partisan gerrymandering designed to disenfranchise voters, Representative Ryan Spain, Republican of Peoria, said in an interview. The current 78-40 split between Democrats and Republicans isn't proportional to ballots cast in recent elections, the GOP argues. The 78-40 split would make sense in a world where Republicans were receiving roughly 40% of votes cast in a general election. But in 2022, Republicans received 51% of votes cast in House races, and the party should expect to receive 47-48% of the votes cast in House races in a normal election year, per the simulation. Thus, the GOP believes they'd have a larger share of House seats if maps were drawn fairly. "We're not supposed to be depriving voters of their individual vote," Representative Dan Ugaste, Republican of Geneva, said in an interview. "It's supposed to have the same meaning as every other voter in the state, and when you do that on a partisan basis, it always skews that one individual's vote." The Princeton gerrymandering project, using a different methodology, gave Illinois' House map an A grade for partisan fairness, meaning the current map doesn't give an advantage to either party. The filing notes courts in North Carolina and Pennsylvania have previously struck down maps based on similar accusations and language in those states' constitutions, similar to Illinois'. Republicans hope the Illinois Supreme Court will agree the maps are unfair and force new House maps to be redrawn by an independent commission that would not consider partisan benefits. The lawsuit focuses on the House maps, but a favorable ruling for Republicans could be extended to Senate maps, as each Senate district is comprised of two House districts. "I have high hopes for the court in doing the right thing," Spain said. "I think the compactness claim is a slam dunk. They've already ruled on that one before." A spokesperson for the House Democrats did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Previous lawsuits. This is not the first time Republicans have asked courts to toss out maps. Republicans and the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, or MALDEF, sued in summer 2021 after the General Assembly passed an initial set of maps using American Community Survey data in order to meet statutory deadlines for redistricting after census data was delayed by the pandemic. Lawmakers returned later that summer to pass the current set of maps based on census data. Here is another state of Illinois story headlined, "Illinois lawmakers watching TikTok's fate. Some are users," by Bridget Fox. Springfield. When short-form video platform TikTok shut down service earlier this month, the move surprised some Illinois politicians who use the app to educate, reach constituents, and follow trends. Others had abandoned the app months before it was shut down for less than 24 hours. TikTok, a social media app owned by China-based company ByteDance, has been the center of political controversy since 2019, when a federal probe into its ownership began. In 2022, a report from BuzzFeed News showed ByteDance employees based in China were able to access American users' data. In early 2024, former President Joe Biden signed the bill that would force TikTok to either sell to a U.S. company or be banned in the U.S. TikTok's lawyers claimed the government was infringing on its users' First Amendment right to freedom of speech. However, in January, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled unanimously in favor of upholding the law. Of the 118 members of the Illinois House, 20 had verifiable, non-private TikTok accounts they used personally or as representatives as of January 22nd. there were 9 verifiable accounts found for state senators. Only 10 of the 20 accounts had any posts, and only 7 of those accounts posted within the last 3 months. Representative Edgar Gonzalez Jr., Democrat of Chicago, is an active TikTok user. The 28-year-old said he uses the app to educate people and keep up with local news and businesses. I had other colleagues say, "Oh, I saw this restaurant in your neighborhood. How is it?" Gonzalez said. "I can just talk about it, and I ask them about other restaurants or businesses in their districts. So it, a potential ban, sucks because a lot of people use it for discovering new things." Gonzalez and other representatives also worried TikTok is a national security threat. "Data has become its own currency and its own weapon," Gonzalez said. "But I think that in the same way that we worry about foreign countries trying to harvest that data, we should also worry about the folks in the States." In 2022, BuzzFeed News reported Chinese-based employees at ByteDance had accessed American users' data. That same year, company officials admitted in leaked emails to spying on the author of that story in an attempt to identify her sources, according to Forbes. Representative Patrick Sheehan, Republican of Lamont, posted his only 2 videos to TikTok in January. He said he likes comedy, recipe, and workout videos, and he wants to reach out to his constituents. "My kids are on the platform, and they kept saying, 'Hey, you know, RFK Jr. is on the platform, and we see his videos everywhere. Now President Donald Trump's on the platform. He's everywhere. Joe Biden's everywhere,'" Sheehan said. "So I kind of got interested in seeing how they were reaching out to a whole different type of audience, so I decided to get on." Sheehan said he wasn't concerned about using TikTok right now, despite the national security concerns. "I'm not too worried about it. I'm very hopeful that this whole situation is going to be resolved," Sheehan said. "I really feel like a lot of, you know, stakeholders that are at the table want to make this work. I'm just really hopeful that it's just a matter of time and negotiating a number." The app was initially required to be sold by January 19th by an approved buyer or be banned in the U.S. Trump extended the deadline for this enforcement by 75 days. Representative Barbara Hernandez, Democrat of Aurora, who last posted on January 15th, said she's weighing the value of using TikTok if it gets bought by a company like Meta. "Like every bill, I would like to learn more about the transaction. What is it going to entail? Who's actually involved? And being able to figure that out first," Hernandez said. "But I don't know. I guess that's my recent conflict. I don't know what I'm going to be able to do and not do on a social media platform." Representative Dave Vella, Democrat of Rockford, who last posted to TikTok in 2022, said the app's security risks and the low reach to constituents made his campaign stop posting on it. "I know my daughter and her friends love it, so I'd prefer that it stay open, but just not owned by China," Vella said. While Vella said any company that isn't based in China would make him less nervous about posting, there are worries about other companies who might buy TikTok. "I do worry about one conglomerate of 4 or 5 people having all that information, all that control, all that ability to decide what is or is not truth, or what is and is not dispensable," Vella said. Representative Travis Weaver, Republican of Edwards, hasn't posted to TikTok since March 2024 because of how little engagement he got there. However, he said his communications team isn't done using the app. Like most representatives, Weaver is watching for what happens next. "I think it makes a lot of sense for it to be sold," Weaver said. "I have serious concerns about the CCP, Chinese Communist Party, having so much influence on what American citizens see, especially what the next generation sees. Here's a timely seasonal feature entitled Winter's Weather Oracle, a look at the origins of Groundhog Day and Punxsutawney Phil by the Associated Press. The spotlight will be on Gobbler's Knob in western Pennsylvania on Sunday morning when handlers of a groundhog named Punxsutawney Phil will announce whether he saw his own shadow and predicts 6 more weeks of winter or an early spring. Thousands are expected to attend the annual event that exploded in popularity after the 1993 Bill Murray movie Groundhog Day. It's part of a tradition rooted in European agricultural life, marking the midpoint between the shortest day of the year on the winter solstice and the spring equinox. It's also a time of year that figures in the Celtic calendar and the Christian holiday of Candlemas. Some dismiss the Punxsutawney event as an unworthy rival to their own festivities, which they say forecast more accurate weather predictions. There have been weather-predicting groundhogs in at least 28 U.S. states and Canadian provinces, and less formal celebrations far and wide. One thing it's not, serious business. "We know this is silly, we know this is fun," said Marcy Galando, executive director of the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club. "We want people to come here with a sense of humor." What are the holiday's origins? Celtic peoples across Europe marked the 4 days that are midway between the winter solstice, the spring equinox, the summer solstice, and the fall equinox. What the Celts called Imbolc is also about when Christians celebrate Candlemas, timed to Joseph and Mary's presentation of Jesus at the temple in Jerusalem. Ancient people would watch the sun, stars, and animal behavior to guide farming practices and other decisions, and the practice of watching an animal's emergence from winter hibernation to forecast weather has roots in a similar German tradition involving badgers or bears. Pennsylvania Germans apparently substituted the groundhog, endemic to the eastern and midwestern United States. Historians have found in an 1841 diary to groundhog weather forecasts in early February among families of German descent in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, according to the late Don Yoder, a University of Pennsylvania professor whose 2003 book about Groundhog Day explored the Celtic connection. Yoder concluded the festival has roots in ancient, undoubtedly prehistoric weather lore. Why is it celebrated in Punxsutawney? Punxsutawney is an area that Pennsylvania Germans settled and in the late 1880s started celebrating the holiday by picnicking, hunting, and eating groundhogs. Members of Punxsutawney Groundhog Club, organized in 1899, care for Phil at a customized space beside Punxsutawney Memorial Library, where there's a window with a view into the creature's burrow. The Punxsutawney groundhog makes predictions, but he's not always predictable. The designated groundhog emerged before sunrise in 1929 and didn't come out until late afternoon in 1941. The Bill Murray movie caused such a resurgence of interest that 2 years after it was released, event organizers voiced concern about rowdy crowds drinking all night, people climbing trees, and others stripping to their underwear. In 1998, a Groundhog Club leader wearing a $4,000 groundhog suit reported being assaulted by a half dozen young men. Alcohol is now prohibited at Gobbler's Knob, Phil's spot, some 80 miles northeast of Pittsburgh. Will Phil get it right this year? Some well-meaning efforts have sought to determine Phil's accuracy, but what 6 weeks of winter means is debatable. Claims that a groundhog has or has not seen its shadow, and that it's able to communicate that to a human, are also fair territory for skeptics and the humor impaired. By all accounts, Phil predicts more winter far more often than he predicts an early spring. Groundhogs are mostly solitary creatures who start to emerge in midwinter to find a mate. The science behind whether they can make accurate weather predictions is problematic at best. Among skeptics is the National Centers for Environmental Information within the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The government agency compared Phil's record with U.S. national temperatures over the prior decade and concluded he was right only 30% of the time. And here's a local item entitled Zoo Admission Free on Fridays. Bloomington. Miller Park Zoo, 1020 South Morris Avenue in Bloomington, will offer free admission on Fridays during the entire month of February. Free admission days will be Friday, February 7th, February 14th, February 21st, and February 28th. Limited concessions will be available on those days. The zoo is also encouraging guests to participate in creating Valentine-themed enrichment items for the animals from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. February 7th. The materials will be given to the animals on the same day at 2 p.m. inside the Cat Hofer building. Additional enrichment activities will be available the weekend of February 7th to 9th. Miller Park Zoo is open daily from 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and parking is free. Miller Park Zoo is a member of the Museums for All initiative, which supports those receiving food assistance or SNAP benefits. Those individuals or families can visit the zoo for $3 per person for up to 4 people. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for January 30th. Please stay tuned.